Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and thank you for listening to our service today. This is a service for Sunday, the 5th of July, and it's hard to believe that we're into July already, but we're still in lockdown and we're still worshipping in this way. Of course, churches are permitted to open with severe restrictions upon those services. And like most of the other Presbyterian churches in our local area, we've decided to proceed cautiously and carefully. And so our church building will not be open for the next few weeks anyway, probably the whole of the summer period. And we're looking towards the end of August, beginning of September, as an opening time. But please remember, as you listen to our service today, it is in a slightly different order so that you can get to the sermon quickly, or you can re-listen to the sermon again if you need to. There are other people taking part. So this week our Bible reading is by Carl Miller. Our prayer for others is by Laura Miller. The Lord's Prayer, we're going to be led in that by Edgar Scott. And we're going to have a musical medley from Eileen once again. So remember also that you can listen to a Bible study on the telephone line from Wednesday through to Friday. And the Bible study is going back into Philippians this week, Philippians chapter 3. And there are a series of short 5-minute segments on various verses from Philippians chapter 3, and you're very welcome to read that and maybe even phone someone and have a discussion about the Bible study. So let's worship together, and this is our service for Sunday the 5th of July. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining with us once again today. And as we gather to worship, I wonder, have you encountered a similar problem to me over these last number of weeks? Sometimes I can get very, very negative about everything that's going on around us. The politicians don't seem to give answers to the questions that they've been asked at the briefings. Social distancing doesn't seem to apply to everybody. Some people will go out of their way to step aside as you're walking along. Others would almost just walk right through you. And it's very, very easy to come away each day and just be complaining and to be negative and to be down on everything that's happening. And yet it's very important for us as Christians to remember that we have a God who's in control of all these things. We have a God who can be trusted. We have a God who helps us and gives us what is positive in our lives and builds us up. So we need to make sure that we don't allow the things that are going on around us to make us negative and downcast, but instead we turn to God and we find something positive and we find something helpful. Now, that's not to say that we just disregard social distancing, we disregard all those things. Yes, we still do them. We still hold on to all those things that we've been told and all the good advice about washing hands and all those different things. But we need to remember that there are some things that we are not in control of and that only God is in control of. So today we're going to look for hope in God's word. We're going to look primarily at Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to look in the rest of scripture at some verses that will bring us hope and will encourage us. Because in Philippians chapter 4, Paul, writing from his prison cell to the young Christians in Philippi, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think that peace of God is what I need sometimes. That I'm not complaining, that I'm not worried, but that I have peace. So let's bow before God in prayer and let's ask for that peace. Heavenly Father, be with us today, we pray, as we come to worship you. We ask, Lord, that we might turn to you in prayer, presenting our requests before you. And that, Lord, we would know your peace in our lives. Instead of all the negativity and all the worry, may you grant us that peace that we cannot understand, but that comes alone from you. Help us, Lord, to find hope in you this day as we look in your word. May you speak hope into our hearts. May you build us up in our faith, we pray. And may we know your blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first item of praise is Psalm 121. And this psalm asks the question, we've looked at it before in our services, it asks the question, where does our help come from? Where do we turn to in times of trouble? We turn to the Lord and find hope in him.
Today's reading will be from Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen put into me into practice, And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
So have you found yourself being negative about so many things that are happening in the world today? If you have, then I think Paul has a very good antidote for us in Philippians chapter 4 that Carl read for us earlier in the service. Because in Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, we might say to ourselves, well, that's okay for Paul. He can rejoice as much as he wants. He's not in the same position that we're in. He's not facing a global pandemic. He's not facing lockdown. He's not facing all the same issues that we're facing day by day. So, Paul, you rejoice away. I have things to complain about. But what we need to realize about Paul in Philippians is that Paul is in prison. He's been jailed. He's being held there because of his faith. He hasn't done anything wrong, but because of his faith, he's been put in prison. He's not able to go and visit any of the churches that he has already planted. He's not able to go to new places and tell people about the gospel. And yet Paul somehow is able to get away from the negativity and saying, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is awful. What a terrible regime putting me in prison. Oh, the guards are awful. The conditions are terrible. But he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And then he goes on to give us these wonderful words about prayer. And again, this is from someone who's locked up in prison. Do not be anxious about anything, he says. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, that's a fair enough thing to tell anyone to do. Pray, talk to God, ask him for everything. But then he gives us a promise based on that. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you want to know peace, if you want to get rid of the negativity, if you want to replace it with something positive, turn to God in prayer, and then all of those negative things, all of that anxiousness will be replaced by peace. So how do we go about doing that? Well, Paul tells us basically to fill our minds with good things instead of negative things. If you find yourself becoming negative, if you find yourself becoming grumpy, if you're always complaining about things, Paul says, rather than complaining, why not fill your mind with good things? Finally, brothers, he says in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, fill your mind with all those things because they will replace the negativity. He goes on in verse 9 to say, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So we have these wonderful words. We have this challenge from Paul about how we're to live our lives. So today I want us to fill our minds with things that are true and noble and praiseworthy, to put the positive things into our lives rather than the negative. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And we're going to think about a few Bible verses that will fill our minds with things that are caught up in all these different ideas that Paul is talking about. So the first verse that I want to share with you today is from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. And again, this is a well-known verse to us today. There we read, "They that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And there is a verse of hope for us. That if we put our hope in the Lord God Almighty, if we trust in Him today, then we will soar on eagle's wings. We'll not be confined, but we will be lifted up. We'll be able to keep running the race that's been set before us, and we will not grow weary in that race, but we'll be able to keep on going, and we'll be able to walk and not grow faint. And the strange thing about that verse is you would almost expect it to be the other way around. You would think you would start off with walking. And then once you've walked and you haven't grown faint, then you would start to run and you would pick up a bit of speed and a bit of momentum and you wouldn't grow weary as you run. And then as you run, you would take off and soar like an eagle. And there would be this progression all the way through from walking to running to flying and soaring. And that would be the way around you would expect. But for some reason, God gives Isaiah this verse the other way around, where you soar like an eagle to begin with. And then you maybe slow down a little bit and you're running. And then eventually you get to the stage where you're walking. But the promise is that God is with us through each of those stages. And I think that the idea here is that whenever we first trust in the Lord and find salvation in the Lord, everything is wonderful. We are soaring like eagles. Nobody can touch us. It's the most wonderful experience. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a new hope in our lives that nobody has ever told us about before. But then we face a few difficulties, and we're maybe not soaring as much as we once were. We're still going well with the Lord. We're running along. Everything is going fine. But we're maybe not reaching the heights that we once reached before. But God is still with us and will not grow weary. And then we hit other problems. And there are difficulties that come into our lives, problems that we can't solve, things that we have to live with and we have to put up with. And we can't get rid of them. And it feels as though we're just walking and maybe plodding. We've slowed right down. And we're not reaching the heights that we once were. We're not reaching the speeds that we once were. But God promises that even in those situations, He is still with us. We will not grow faint. So they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Second verse I want to share with you today to bring you hope is from Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul's saying to the Romans here, put your hope in God. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life. And you will have power that you never thought it was possible to have. How do we cope with the problems in life? How do we cope with difficulties in life? We might look at others and despair and say to ourselves, I could never go through that. I could never cope with that. But in those times of difficulty and in those times of fear and uncertainty, God sends his Holy Spirit to us. And the Holy Spirit ministers in our hearts, grants us the power that we need to be able to survive, and helps us day by day. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Holy Spirit today. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Seek out the Holy Spirit so that you may know his help and his strength in everything that you do. Don't be negative, but look to the Holy Spirit for that power and that help. Third verse that I want to share with you is from Philippians 3, verse 14. And we looked at Philippians a few weeks ago in our Beside the Burn Bible studies. And can I encourage you to go and look at those on the website if you haven't already done so. But in Philippians 3, verse 14, Paul tells us, I continue my pursuit towards the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Paul, writing from the prison cell, confined and imprisoned, says, I continue my pursuit towards the goal of knowing Jesus Christ, the goal of salvation in God, the goal of living a life that at the end of that life you go to be with your heavenly Father who has sent his Son to offer forgiveness. This is the hope we have. That we don't run this race in vain, that we don't live this life just for the here and now, but we live it for what is to come in Jesus Christ. And so with Paul, we continue to pursue the goal that God has set before us, this upward calling in Christ Jesus. Jesus has given everything so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could live lives that are worthy of him. So Philippians 3 and verse 14 reminds us of this hope that we have, that it keeps going and that it will not give up in us. Then the fourth verse that I want to share with you today is from 2 Corinthians 4. And it's a couple of verses, verses 17 and 18. And there Paul again is writing, and this time he writes, for this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. So here Paul is writing and he's saying, okay, there is affliction. Okay, there is suffering. But remember this, whatever you are facing in the world at the moment, whatever is troubling you, whatever suffering you're going through, it is temporary. It will not last. It is only for this world and then it will pass. Maybe beyond all comparison, but what God has in store for you is beyond anything that you can experience here on earth. So the pits of despair and suffering that you may be going through in your life today is not worth comparing to the glory and the splendor that will be yours in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, okay, what is seen around you is terrible and is difficult. But do not give up, because it's what is unseen that's the important thing. As we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. And so the faith that we put in Jesus Christ, we cannot see it, we cannot quantify it, but it will bring glory in the end as we trust in Jesus, as we rely upon him. We have hope today. Don't get caught up in the negativity. Come to God in prayer and he will grant you his peace, and what is unseen will last for eternity in Jesus Christ. And then the final verse that I want us to consider is from Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Where God says, for I know the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope. What a wonderful verse of hope to end with today. That God has plans for us and he knows what those plans are, and they are for our welfare.
In some translations, it says they will prosper you. And then we get caught up in the whole idea, oh, that means we'll have wealth, that means that we'll have money. That's not what it's saying here. It's for our welfare. It is for our prosperity, but not in a monetary way. It's for our good that God gives us hope. It's for our good that God makes plans and that he follows those plans. He wants to give us a future of hope. So don't despair. Don't get so negative that you cannot see what God is up to. Instead, fill your minds with all those good things. Fill your minds with these verses that we've mentioned today, so that you will know the hope that God gives us, and you will know that he can be trusted in, that you know that whatever happens in life, that he is with you. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about these verses that I've mentioned to you today. Fill your mind with them so that you may trust in God and find hope in him today. We're going to end our service today by singing Cornerstone. My hope is found in Christ alone. So let us worship God together. So what's coming up in our service today? Well, again, we have lots of people who are taking part. Eileen is going to play a little medley for us in helping us to worship. Carl is going to read from Philippians chapter 4, and Laura then is going to lead us in our prayer for others. Edgar is going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and Louise is going to sing the Power of the Cross. So let's continue to worship God together.
Good morning. I hope you're all keeping well during this strange time. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the congregation of Burnside for their thoughts and prayers over the past few months. As some of you are aware, I was in Australia whenever the coronavirus hit. And whilst Australia, maybe it's fair to say, hasn't been as badly affected as the UK, whenever I was out there, everything essentially started to shut down and go into lockdown. So it was definitely the best decision to come home. And although I had a bit of a panic and had a bit of trouble getting home with a lot of cancelled flights and unhelpful embassies, I did manage to stay with a friend whilst I tried to get a flight home, and eventually I got a repatriation flight at the start of April. It seems like quite a long time ago now, but I just wanted to say thank you. I know the congregation are always praying for me throughout the years, and I really appreciate it, so thank you very much. This morning I've been asked to do the prayer of intercession, which is really just an opportunity to pray for the world and everything that's going on in it. So we'll be praying for a number of things this morning. First of all, we're going to pray for the oppressed around the world, whatever that may look like. A lot of people think that the racial tensions that we've seen on the news are really an American problem, but unfortunately they're a Northern Ireland problem as well, and Northern Ireland definitely has a part to play in racial attacks and institutionalised racism. Just in the past year, there's been over 936 racially motivated attacks across the province. So it's really important that Christians are praying for God's people, and that he will also change our hearts and our unconscious bias as well. We will be praying for the oppressed in the persecuted church across the world, who are under dictatorships and undemocratic regimes, and also we will be praying for victims of modern day slavery across the world as well. We will also be praying for the poor, particularly in Yemen. Yemen is experiencing one of the worst humanitarian crises in over 100 years. And it hasn't really been shown on the news a lot because it's been drowned out by everything else that is going on. But their fighting off a cholera epidemic, they've got the pandemic and COVID-19, and they've got famine and war going on at the minute as well. And I read last week that if Yemen was 100 people, 80 would need humanitarian aid to survive, 60 would have nothing to eat, and 58 would have no access to clean water. And part of me does think it's crazy that the news isn't really covering this. But as Christians, you know, it's our duty to support Yemen relief organisations and to inform and educate ourselves on what is happening across the world. And I really encourage you to do that if you're able. But this morning, yeah, we'll be praying for Yemen and for God to intervene in that. And lastly, we will be bringing the pandemic before God again. We mustn't forget those who have been negatively impacted by the virus, whether that be with death and with sickness, those who have lost their jobs, and those who have also suffered bad mental health because of the lockdown. Especially as restrictions are starting to be lifted, I think a lot of people are reacting in different ways. Some people are celebrating, but a lot of people are really nervous about the restrictions being lifted, and it's causing them a lot of anxiety. So we'll be praying this morning for God's guidance in the next few weeks as restrictions continue to be lifted. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us each uniquely in your image. We pray with faith and belief that you will heal the land of the infectious disease of racism. We confess now our blindness to, our complicity within, and our benefit from the oppressive and unjust world around us. Give us humility that we might be willing to see and to learn where we contribute hurt and endanger. Enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of fellowship, and show us your presence in those who differ most from us. As a church, may we celebrate and welcome the diverse faces of Christ in our community. Empower us to speak boldly for justice and truth, and help us to deal with one another without hatred or bitterness, working together with mutual respect. May our leaders work to end the violence perpetrated by verbal attacks and cold indifference. May we see an end to systemic racism, O Lord. May we receive the grace to see every human being as a child of God, regardless of race, language, or culture. From the bondage of racism that denies the humanity of every human being, and the prejudices within us that deny the dignity of those who are oppressed, Lord, set us free. Sovereign God, we worship you and we acknowledge that you know all of those who suffer in your name. We ask that you would make us ever mindful of our brothers and sisters around the world who need us to stand with them as they suffer in your name. May we never take for granted the extravagant gift of freedom you bestow upon us. Almighty Father, you hold all of creation. May the hearts of those who persecute your children be transformed. Jesus, you conquered sin and death. May those responsible for cruelty and suffering be convicted of their error and seek truth and justice. O God, when we hear of your children and adults deceived and taken to unknown places for the purposes of sexual exploitation, forced labour and organ harvesting, our hearts are saddened and our spirits angry that their dignity and rights are ignored through threats, lies and force. We pray for an end to the terrible evil of people trafficking, for an honouring of individuals as people made in your image, and not as goods to be sold and abused. Merciful Lord, our hearts cry out for the people of Yemen, for mothers choosing between medicine or food, for parents grieving children lost to starvation. Comfort all those who are suffering, Strengthen those who are mourning, and let your peace and provision reign. We pray for a total end to the cholera outbreak. We ask that the aid effort won't be hindered in any way, and that supplies will reach people where they're needed most. Give wisdom and safety to those doing this work. Make the nations turn their attention to Yemen so that they respond immediately and generously. Don't let this be another headline that goes unheeded. Lord of all, we commit the people of Yemen to you. Father, the state of your world grieves you infinitely more than it grieves us, and our inaction must be part of your grief. Help us to have the same burden that you do for the poor, the needy, and the oppressed, so that we can continue Jesus' work of releasing the captives and setting people free. Keep us, O Lord, under the shadow of your mercy during this time of uncertainty. We thank you this morning for the health workers tending to the ill, the scientists working on vaccination, and the supermarket workers, and all of those helping hands who have worked tirelessly during lockdown. We pray for all who are affected by coronavirus through illness, isolation, unemployment, or anxiety, that they may find relief and recovery. We pray for those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national policies, that they may make wise decisions. For the vulnerable and the fearful, for the gravely ill and the dying, may they know the comfort and peace of your love. We pray for the recent outbreak in Leicester, for safety and protection. Lord, we boldly ask you to intervene. As restrictions are gradually lifted, please sustain and support the anxious and the fearful. May we rejoice in the comfort of all-powerful God, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Draw close to us now, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Why Jesus? Today we are thinking about placing our hope in Jesus Christ, not being anxious about anything, not being negative about the things around us. And so as we ask the question, why Jesus, we realize that Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us hope for the future, that this world is not the end. There is a world to come. Jesus Christ died for our sins, but he didn't remain dead and buried. He rose again, and he offers you and me resurrection. That if we trust in him, then one day we will be resurrected to be with him for all eternity. Yes, whenever we die, we will be buried. If the Lord doesn't come before we die, we will be buried. We'll go to be with Jesus in heaven. But then Jesus is coming back again. And when Jesus comes back again, our bodies will be resurrected and we will be clothed for the new heaven and the new earth. We will have resurrection bodies that we can live in and be with God in his presence each and every day, that we will never be taken away from him. And so Jesus gives us hope today that whatever suffering we face, whatever's going on in the world around us, whatever difficulties we face, he gives us hope that there is more to come. There's another world after this one. And sometimes we lose sight of that fact. Used to be, I suppose, in years gone by, that was the great hope that was held out. But then somehow along the way, we got comfortable in this world. And we started to build our own empires in this world. And we started to rely upon what happens in this world. But certainly with coronavirus, all of that has been shaken. We're not so secure anymore. Now we're a little bit more worried about what happens here. And we need to remind ourselves of the world to come. So why should you trust in Jesus? Trust in Jesus because of his resurrection. Trust in Jesus because of the hope of a world to come. Trust in Jesus because he will never leave us. And one day he's coming back again to bring those who have trusted in him to be with him for all eternity.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Boys and girls, there are lots of things that I use each and every day that I don't really understand fully how they work. For example, my mobile phone. I'm using my mobile phone to record this message for you today, and I don't really know how that works. Somehow or other, I press the right buttons, the phone records. Somehow or other, I'm able to talk to people on it. Somehow or other, I'm able to surf on the internet. But how all the different bits and pieces work, I'm just not always sure. There are lots of other things that I use on a daily basis that I don't know how they work. My car. I know I get in and turn the key and switch it on and start to drive. I use the accelerator and the clutch, and everything seems to work and it gets me along. But how are all those things connected? How do they all fit together? I don't really know how all of that works. There's other things that I use, a remote control. Something so simple as a remote control on the television. I press the button, it changes the channel, it alters the volume. But how does that truly work? I don't really know. But I'm able to use them, and I'm able to realize what they do and how they work. I'm not sure how God is able to control everything in this earth. I'm not sure how God is able to watch over all that takes place and be in charge of every single little detail that's going on. All the things that are happening in the world at the minute, but also all the things that are happening in my life and indeed your life. But I know that He is in control. And I have faith that He knows what He is doing, and He does the best for each one of us. It's not just that He does the best that He can do. He does the best that it is possible to do, because God is almighty. God is able to do all things. And so He looks after us. And if we have trust in Him, then He will do what is right for us. So I'm not sure how it all works. I'm not sure how God is able to do all these incredible things, but I trust Him today, and I place my hope in Him, and therefore I know that I can trust Him. We're going to sing together, Lift High the Name of Jesus. It's a lovely chorus. It's a lively little chorus, and it reminds us that we can trust in Jesus every single day. There's very little about this whole process of recording the service that isn't strange. It's just standing and talking to a camera instead of having the congregation around is very, very unusual, and something that I still haven't got terribly used to over the last number of weeks. But I do find this particular part of the service to be the oddest part of the whole recording experience. And yet I persevere with it because I truly believe it is an important part of our worship. This is whenever we give thanks for the offering. And of course, normally the offering plate is passed round, although that's very much a thing of the past and won't be happening in the near future because of the risk of infection from touching surfaces. But normally the offering is collected in church, it's brought up to the front, the stewards stand, and we pray together and give thanks to God. So there isn't so much a physical offering here, but it is so vital that we acknowledge the generosity of God's people, and we acknowledge the money that has been given, and we dedicate that money, and we pray that it would be used for God's service. And so every part of me doesn't want to do this part of the service each week, And yet I know that it's essential and it's important, because after all, giving is part of our worship. It's not just the singing, it's not just listening to the sermon, it's not just praying, but it is also the fact of giving as well. Many of you have set up standing orders, many of you fill your envelopes and deliver them to Jeremy, and many of you, I know as well, are filling up your envelopes at home and haven't brought them yet, and we thank you for that, and we look forward to that day whenever we will be able to receive them. So in all those different ways, we give thanks to God today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you, Lord, that you provide for us each day. And so, Lord, we take this moment to return thanks to you and to dedicate the offering of your people today. We ask, Lord, that all that is received would be used for your glory and for your kingdom. And so we return the thanksgiving and the praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the blessing at the end of our services. Paul's words from Philippians ring in our ears. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.